Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Do you like a challenge? If you do, I think you're going to really enjoy today's programme because it's the story of how a group of young people took on their own challenge and despite unavoidable COVID-related difficulties, they won with truly life-changing results. The group of young people will be joining me very shortly, but first, some music. This week, I've chosen a bit of nostalgia that I hope will bring back memories of autumn term assemblies with a primary school favourite. Sung here by Sophie Ballamy, it's Autumn Days.
Autumn days when the grass is jewelled and the silk inside a chestnut shell. Jet planes waiting in the air to be refuelled. All these things I love so well. Well, I mustn't forget. No, I mustn't forget. To say a great big thank you, I mustn't forget. Clouds that look like familiar faces and the winter's moon with frosted rings. Smell of bacon as I fasten up my laces and the song the milkman sings. Well, I mustn't forget. No, I mustn't forget. To say a great big thank you, I mustn't forget. Up spray that is rainbow scattered and a swallow curving in the sky. Shoes so comfy though they're worn out and they're battered and the taste of apple pie. Well, I mustn't forget. No, I mustn't forget. To say a great big thank you, I mustn't forget. Of gardens when the rain's been falling and a minnow darting down a stream. Picked up engine that's been stuttering and stalling and for my own team. Well, I mustn't forget. No, I mustn't forget. To say a great big thank you, I mustn't forget. Mustn't forget. To say a great big thank you, I mustn't forget.
Sophie Ballamy singing one of Estelle White's many classic hymns written for young people, Autumn Days. I'm sorry it wasn't the greatest quality recording, but I do hope it brought back some happy memories, especially for school teachers and Sunday school leaders. Now back to that challenge. This was the annual charity challenge sponsored by AFD Software of Ramsey, in which teams of local sixth form students compete for a top prize of £5,000 for their chosen charity. We'll find out exactly how it works when I talk with this year's winning team, who are from Ramsey Grammar School, and the charity they chose was the Leprosy Mission. Paul Moores is the Northwest Area Representative for the Leprosy Mission and the Isle of Man falls within his territory. So celebrating with the team was one of the main reasons for his visit here this week. A few days ago, I met up with Paul and the Ramsey Grammar School winning team. But before we hear from them, with their team leader Arabella Iron, let's take just 2 minutes to discover just how life-changing is the work of the Leprosy Mission as we listen to Arshad's story.
Hi there. I wonder if I can have 2 minutes of your busy day today for my friend Arshad. Arshad has leprosy. That's right. Today, Arshad is living with leprosy. In fact, he's one of more than 200,000 people who are newly diagnosed each year. Arshad is feeling full of shame and sad because people in his community believe he is contagious and that he is cursed. And worse, he's feeling worthless because most people in the world believe that leprosy hasn't existed since ancient times. Arshad would like you to know more about his disease. Leprosy is a mildly infectious condition caused by a bacteria related to tuberculosis. 95% of us are naturally immune to it, but it's more common in countries where poverty is rife and people's immune systems are not strong. If left untreated, leprosy causes damage to large nerves in the hands and feet, so the patient simply doesn't feel it when they hurt themselves. These wounds, and the ulcers they often cause, can ultimately lead to permanent disability, amputation, and despair. Leprosy is also one of the world's most stigmatizing diseases. Whole families see their education, job, and marriage prospects affected by discrimination and misunderstanding, often being denied their basic human rights. Even if aware that they have leprosy, patients fear being diagnosed, so fail to seek treatment, perpetuating a vicious cycle of disease, disability, and discrimination. 3 million people in the world are living with irreversible disabilities caused by late treatment of leprosy, but since 1982, an effective cure has been available. None of this has to happen. Arshad has been receiving support from the Leprosy Mission for a while now. We're a global charity working to diagnose, treat, and rehabilitate those who are suffering from this dreadful disease. After medication cured Arshad of leprosy, surgery helped him to use his hands and feet again. Now he's studying at one of our training centres so he can get a job and sustain himself. And thanks to awareness raising in his community, people now know that those affected by leprosy should not be outcasts and have the same rights as anyone else. We don't just help cure leprosy. Our hope is for more people to be educated about the disease. We can't turn back the clock, but we can stop it ticking on this silently destructive disease.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart.
We're from Ramsey Grammar School, first of all, the north of the island, and the team comprises of, say, myself, Adam Shaw, Tom Willis, Daniel Garrett, Elliot Nash, and Craig Huxham.
Arabella, tell me, what is the Charity Challenge?
The Charity Challenge is this programme that we do for sixth form enrichment within the school. It's essentially a programme where you choose a charity and you have to do some advocacy work and also provide a presentation at the end of doing all of the raising awareness and fundraising to promote the work of the charity. And there are prizes, as the event is sponsored by AFD Software, cash prizes for the winning charities to go towards all their great work. So it's a really great opportunity, I think.
Indeed it is. But first of all, you had to choose a charity. So Elliot, how did you choose your charity? How does that work?
So we all went to an event where all the charities sort of pitched up their charities to us. We went round and a representative from each charity would tell us about what their charity does and why we should represent them in the Charity Challenge. So we had looked at every single charity in the room and we thought that Christine, the representative for the Leprosy Mission, was really good and she had a lot of passion behind the Leprosy Mission and we thought that it would be a worthy cause to represent.
So that's over the first stage. You've chosen the Leprosy Mission. The next step, I guess, would be research. So Adam, you've caught the passion and that's great, but now you've got to find out everything that you need to know about the Leprosy Mission. How did you go about that?
First and foremost, we had to split our group up into individual research, basically. So, for example, I would be researching where they do things, whereas Elliot specifically researched case studies regarding the Leprosy Mission. And while doing that, we were able to get a lot more covered, basically. So after a few weeks, we came together and kind of established everyone's information that we had covered and then formatted the presentation.
Now, Christine Sugden, the leprosy mission representative here on the island, she must have been delighted. Did she give you a lot of support?
Absolutely. She came in a few weeks, actually, in a row with loads of different handouts, etc. And Paul being the major representative in the UK, also ended up sending a load of leaflets, etc. out, which we could use for advocacy and collect information for ourselves, as well as case studies and a book that we could also use, created by the Leprosy Mission.
Which bit were you researching, Daniel?
I wrote up all about advocacy and how much money we raised. Over the course of several months, we managed to do several types of advocacy. We went to primary schools and educated them on the Leprosy Mission. We had our own little cake bake sale in our own school and on non-uniform day to raise, I think, £128. Arabella was lucky enough to do some busking with her harp, and we raised 200 something from that as well, over 200. So that was great as well.
It has to be said, she's a very good harpist, isn't she?
Extremely good harpist. We were lucky to have her.
How much did you raise in total? I know it wasn't all about that, but how much did you raise?
From our own advocacy, we raised £592. And then, obviously, getting first, that was another 5,000. So we did pretty well.
I think you did brilliantly. But it interests me that you said you did advocacy work with the primary school. So you were spreading the message as well. And with youngsters, did you find that they were very receptive to what you were saying?
They were very receptive, like you said, yes. Because some already knew about leprosy before, while others didn't. So we were just glad you could spread more awareness about it.
Tom, what area were you involved in?
So I was researching the history of the charity, and I was actually really surprised of how far back the Leprosy Mission actually goes. It goes all the way back to 1869, when it was called the Mission to Lepers. And it was just one person. It was an Irishman called Wellesley Bailey, and he went to India and he saw the effects of that, like leprosy, for the first time, and he decided with his wife that he would do something about it. And it's, you know, continued all the way to now, and it's a global charity and it's helped a lot of people and raised a lot of money.
But still a stigma attached to the disease. People are cast out of villages and rejected by family even, and people won't admit that they need help because of the stigma, and that's a big thing for them to get over, isn't it? Craig, what was your particular involvement in this?
So my work was similar to Tom's. I also dove into the past of the Leprosy Mission, and I looked at famous connections to the Leprosy Mission. So I noticed that Princess Diana had connections to the Leprosy Mission. She visited refugee camps to help people with leprosy in the hospitals there, and the Leprosy Mission was one of her six main charities that she chose to remain a patron to, and she kept working with them up until her unfortunate death.
What was it that particularly touched you about the Leprosy Mission and their work?
I think it goes back to the stigma that you were talking about. It mirrors the struggles that we have in our society right now, present day. And again, going back to the advocacy work that we did with primary schoolers, obviously I think education and just learning this information at such a young age is so imperative to make sure that they have the moral understanding of not only directly for us, leprosy, but also, again, the wider issues of the world and the discrimination that people face. I didn't actually realise the stigma and the prejudice was still here in the modern world in terms of leprosy, because, of course, it's within the Bible. You hear about all of the stories in the Bible. And you just think, oh, it's so ancient. It's not a trouble. It's not a problem for right now. But, in fact, it still goes on. And I think it's so great that the Leprosy Mission works towards fighting against this stigma in so many different areas. They've got so many education programs that are so important, opposed to just fighting the leprosy directly through their medications and things and their treatments. So, yeah, it's a great charity.
I just quite like to quickly mention that the Leprosy Mission is the only charity of the night that works towards, like, 16 out of 17 of the Sustainable Development Goals, I think. And as a little segue into the actual evening, that was one of the major criterias. So to say that the Leprosy Mission works towards 16 out of 17 of the global requirements of a charity is a really brilliant thing, I think.
So you've put your presentation together and here comes the night. Tell me what your presentation was like, Elliot.
Yeah, it went really well. We did a shadow puppetry presentation. Some of the guys got behind like a blank sheet and then we cast a shadow onto it and I narrated it. And it was a story about Bella, a girl who had leprosy and she faced discrimination within her town, but then at the end managed to get treatment from the Leprosy Mission and become a normal girl again, so to speak. And then after that, we all went into our special areas. I explained what leprosy is, and Dan talked about our advocacy, and Craig and Tom talked about history, and then Adam talked about the development goals. And Arabella also played the harp as well during the presentation, which scored very highly with the judges, I think.
It sounds like a very, very strong presentation, but not only strong, but a lot of originality in it. So you've done your presentation, and then you had to sit there while everybody else did their presentations. At any point, did you feel confident or...
I don't mean to throw any shade at the other teams, but no, I felt quite confident personally. I thought we had a good chance. The other teams also did a very good job as well. I don't mean to put them down at all.
No, I appreciate that. So the moment comes and it's announced that you're the winners. How did you feel?
I felt great, honestly. I didn't really see ourselves winning, mainly because I'm a pessimist. That's just my own thing. But at the end of the day, I was just glad that we managed to take part in this such a challenge and just do good in general. So it didn't matter if we won. At the end of the day, we raised some money for a charity that deserved the money. So I was quite happy with myself. But then winning it, of course, was the ice on the cake.
It's quite clear that you've all gained a lot from it, learned a lot from it. The money that you raised yourselves, even without the prize money, was a great sum to give to the Leprosy Mission. Arabella, how did you feel when it was announced that you'd won?
Oh, I was ecstatic. It was amazing. But I think what was more rewarding was just seeing the happiness on Christine and the other representatives' faces. They were all so excited and so proud of us. And I think it was really important that they were also there to see the presentation and just see it all come together. Yeah, it was very rewarding, especially considering that we had lockdowns and, you know, things were getting in the way of all of our advocacy. And there were many obstacles that we faced where, you know, we tried to plan events and they just wouldn't happen, or we had to adapt to the situation.
It got to a point when we were into lockdown, like about halfway through, we were trying to continue as best as we could because we were quite passionate about it. But then we got given the chance, Sarah, the leader of the Charity Challenge, and I said to all the schools, gave them the opportunity to back out now if they wanted to, purely because COVID had disrupted so much. But not a single team did. We all kind of stuck for it.
It was a really great challenge, very rewarding, and I'm very proud of the group.
And sitting in the corner, looking extremely happy, Paul Moores, who's the regional representative of the Leprosy Mission. What do you think of this team, Paul?
I'm just incredibly proud of them all. And it's just great today to be able to meet them finally, because I've seen them on Zoom a few times and had correspondence backwards and forwards the whole time. And it's touched everybody at the Leprosy Mission. Just to let you guys know, you were the talk of the mission. That the next few days, everybody was saying, oh, tell me a bit more about what it was all about. And it's ignited something on the island as well. We've got people coming to the celebration evening who have really got no Leprosy Mission background, no church background, no Ramsey Grammar School background, just people who've seen things on our Facebook page and ignited an interest. So what you've done is actually going to have a domino effect across lots of different communities and lots of lives, definitely. Wanted to sort of sum up a little bit of what the Leprosy Mission's passion that they've caught is all about, really. And I think it's summed up in our mission statement. Our mission statement is very to the point, and it is this: leprosy defeated, lives transformed. And recently I've been thinking about this whole concept of transformation quite a lot. I started to really get into a television series called The Repair Shop. I'm sure most of you watched it. And The Repair Shop is all about transformation, isn't it? It's taking things that were once wonderful and gleaming and brilliant and restoring them. Treasured things that have become ragged and broken, transforming them back to their original state. So that's been another sort of part of my thinking about this is what we're involved in. With things that are broken, seeing them restored, seeing them transformed. Lives are being restored. Hope is being restored. And it just got me thinking that the whole story of God and the human race is about restoration. It's about transformation. It's about God getting involved with us and getting our lives back in order, really. And it's not just a patch-up. I think sometimes we can think about restoration and it's a patch-up job, but actually all things become new. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? What he does in our lives when he gets involved with us is take something that is really broken and makes it like as if it's absolutely brand new. And so that's my thought for the morning, really, is the fact that we've got a God who is the ultimate transformer and the ultimate restorer. And so leprosy defeated, lives transformed is a nutshell of what we are as a mission. And I think that's the passion that the team saw in Christine and took into the charity challenge, without doubt.
Sela and their Indian-inspired latest release, One Name. There'll be a little more music from them in a moment, but right now I want to thank the AFD software-sponsored Charity Challenge winning team from Ramsey Grammar School for joining us today. That's team leader Arabella Iron with Adam Shaw, Tom Willis, Daniel Garrett, Elliot Nash and Craig Huxon. And I think we should also pay tribute to Christine Sugden, who's a key worker for the leprosy mission here on the island. It was her passion for the work of the charity that influenced the Ramsey Grammar team to make their choice, with a wonderful result. And if you'd like to meet and chat with Paul Moores of the leprosy mission, you'll find him in Ballygarry Chapel for a service starting at 6:30 this evening.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy and crown.
Fair is the sunshine,
fairer still the moonlight,
and all the twinkling stars.
Sela with their version of a classic hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus. And we finish today with a look at some other items from our notice board. It's the season of Harvest Thanksgiving and Union Mills Methodist Chapel have two services today. It's a bit late to get there for their morning service at 10:15, but there's an evening service in Union Mills tonight at 6:30. It'll be led by Reverend Richard Hooton and followed by supper. Sandygate Chapel have their Harvest Festival this evening, also at 6:30. Mr. Bert Quayle will preach, and the soloist is Dilys Sowry, and there'll be tea and cakes afterwards. And there's a Harvest Thanksgiving service in St. Luke's Church in Baldwin, also this evening at 6:30. This'll be followed tomorrow evening, Monday the 27th, by a Harvest concert, supper and auction starting at 7 o'clock. Admission is just £5. There's entertainment with Linda Corkish, Helen Prescott, Jude Clegg and John Riley. And that'll be followed by supper, an auction of produce and a raffle for a full lamb dinner. That's all in St Luke's Church in Baldwin tomorrow night. But the Harvest service is tonight at 6:30. The Mariners Choir are in Kirkmichael Methodist Church for a service tonight at 6:30. The preacher is Reverend Brian Yardy. Also tonight, it's the last in the current series of Sunday Night at 8, concerts at the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas. Tonight's concert will be given by the Londo Male Voice Choir with refreshments afterwards. On Tuesday the 28th, there's a fundraising lunch in St George and All Saints Parish Hall in Alexander Drive here in Douglas. It's a Lent lunch-style meal of soup, bread and cheese, a pudding and a hot drink, costing £7 per person, raising funds for the Afghan crisis appeal. Money raised will help pay for food and clothing and medical treatment for the refugees, particularly children, who've arrived with no possessions and traumatised by their recent desperate experiences. This Thursday, it's Tabor on Thursday time in Port St Mary Methodist Church. You're invited to an American night with a meal. It starts at 7:30 on Thursday night and tickets are £15 each. Ring 834-696 to book. 834-696. On Friday, 1st of October, Peter Kelly will give another of his fascinating talks. This time, he'll be in Christchurch in Laxey, and the talk, entitled Wish You Were Here, is an Edwardian postcard tour of the Isle of Man. It starts at 7:30, it'll be followed by tea, coffee and biscuits, and admission is just £5 per person. And looking ahead to next weekend, next Saturday, October the 2nd, the craft market in Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre will be open from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with free entry and all kinds of homemade produce and handicrafts by local artists on sale. There'll also be the famous bacon baps, light lunches, drinks and cakes. It's friendly, fun and free, and it starts meeting again next Saturday, October the 2nd. It's Café Lingo, the relaxed group that offers a helping hand if English is not your first language. Café Lingo meets in the top hall in the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas each Saturday from 10:15 to 11:45, and students are welcome to bring along their children too. As always, Karen is your contact if you need more information, and her number is 458 340. 458 340. And staying at the prom, next Sunday, the 3rd of October, is the Promenade Church Harvest Thanksgiving at 10:30. It'll be led by Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett, and gifts of fruit and vegetables and non-perishable food will be most welcome and will be shared with the food bank and the charity GRI. Dalby Harvest is next Sunday too. Dalby schoolrooms will be open next Sunday from noon to 5 p.m, serving harvest lunches and teas, with cakes and produce on sale too. This'll be followed by Harvest Home in St James's Church at 5:30, with soloist Paul Costain, reflections on harvest by local people and traditional harvest hymns. Everyone's welcome to stay for tea after the service. And that's all that we have time for today. News for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns to be included in future programmes can all be sent to me via email, judithleigh@manxradio.com. All being well, I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown. Easy listening music to round off your weekend. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week. And a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.